Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Louis. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. Is this really true that they're not paying anything by being owner occupiers?
Almost. I mean, they pay every year. They pay a small rates bill, which, in the grand scheme of things, is usually reasonably minor. And they pay stamp duty at the beginning when they purchase the property.
Yeah.
But of course, don't forget, investors pay those costs as well. So relative to investors, they pay almost nothing compared with a lot of countries. Most countries, in fact, have some form of significant property tax that owner-occupiers are required to pay.
Has this something to do with the negative gearing that's happening now?
I think it does, for a number of reasons. And I guess the first and most immediate thought is a lot of people feel strongly that negative gearers or investors have some form of advantage. I think this argument can be fairly simply solved or resolved by just asking the owner-occupier community, would you want to be taxed in the same way that investors are taxed? Usually the answer to that is no, which of course means that there is no advantage that they hold. In terms of negative gearing, this concept has an impact on the debate. But I think it also raises some larger questions of taxation equity across the community, and also what's in the best interests of us as a community in long term.
So what exactly are the taxes being paid if you are a property investor?
So if you're an investor, you pay tax on any annual net profit that you make. So if you're, that's the first thing that happened. If the rent that you receive, or if this was to translate to an owner-occupier, the market value of your rent is higher than your costs, then you have to pay a tax at your marginal rate on that net profit.
Some kind of income, yes.
Like an income, exactly. But if it's a loss, then you can offset that. And the same, I would suggest the same thing for owner-occupiers. You have your market value of rent. You deduct your interest cost of your mortgage, for example, and if you're making a net profit, you pay a tax. If you're making a net loss, you get a tax refund. But then you also pay tax on the capital gains. So if you,
when you sell.
Bought it, exactly, when you sell. Now, that can either be when you, I mean, there's a number of ways you could implement that. You could implement that as it currently is for investors, exactly at the moment that you sell, or it could be an annual charge to proxy for that as well.
Mm.
And that's what they do, for example, in the US. It varies from state to state, but generally, each year, the owner-occupier has to pay approximately 2% of the market value of their house in property taxes.
Adjusted to inflation, obviously.
Well, the market value of the house rises with every passing year. So a more efficient housing utilization as well. If you've got somebody who's retired in a five-bedroom mansion and they just don't need it, well, there's a pressure for them to sell and
downsize,
give that use to a family, and they can downsize.
That's right. Did you come up with an estimate on how much money the government will get out of this?
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a rigorous analysis, but a rough guide. If the property tax was, say, 1% per year, we'd be looking at about $35 to $40 billion a year of revenue.
Mm.
And that would essentially solve our deficit crisis. And if it's a 2% charge, as it is in the US, we could even afford significant tax cuts, income tax cuts.
Or wipe out the deficit.
The deficit would be gone with 1%. And 2%, we could also afford a substantial income tax cut as well.
That'll be a welcome thing.
Yes.
Well, this is a very good suggestion to the government. I hope that both parties will listen, because it's obviously a light burden, if I may say, instead of a 15% GST increase.
Well, with every tax change, there are going to be winners and losers. One of the reasons I do like this approach is that those that are going to be winners are those that are, at the moment, less wealthy.
Mm.
A land tax or a property tax actually taxes wealth, whereas income tax taxes aspiration.
Everyone.
You know, you can find a 28-year-old with a dependent spouse and three children paying off a $1 million mortgage. At the moment, we heavily tax that individual, yet a drug dealer living on Mossman Beach in a mansion pays nothing. You know, and there's something inequitable about that.
That's true.
A land tax would even that up significantly.
Yeah. Well, you've got a very interesting suggestion, and I hope the government listen, or both parties listen to it, and this moves on to something being concrete.
Let's hope so.
Thank you very much for your time, Professor.
Thanks very much, Louis. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.